Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Longbox Heroes, episode 372. I'm Todd, joined with Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
Oh, I feel terrible.
You feel terrible?
I used my one sick day this month, or this year, so I'm out.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a little out of sorts, but the last hour of rambling incoherently has kind of helped.
That's right. That's what you're known for, rambling incoherently.
I can only hope that for the last hour, nothing I said was spoken into a microphone, and I hope none of that was recorded, and I hope none of it published on the internet on Friday.
Accidentally.
Right.
Well, I hope you feel better.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but the show must go on, except for that one time for me and that one other much bigger time for you.
Oh, nothing. It's not like my computer wasn't put together or anything.
Right.
That's big.
Now listen, I know you're casting shade at someone, but that someone has been doing a podcast a day for every day of this month, and he's still on track to keep that to honor the podcast gods with a podcast every day.
I know, and the best part is the shade that I throw.
Yes.
Will probably, you'll hear it more than I will.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the reaction to it. That's why I like doing stuff like this, because it helps your world.
I know I'd mentioned this before on the show, but any concerns or questions about the show, make sure to send them directly to Todd's direct messages on Twitter.
Right, so I can forward them right to Joe's.
Exactly. So what do we got on the show today? Another big show this week.
That's right. A certain animal gets his own book.
Mm-hmm.
Another big name jumps from one company to the other.
Allegedly.
Delays on certain books and the fate of certain comic book properties on TV. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that one. And also, controversy as someone is let go from DC. Also, we have, con news, free digital books and sales. What we read last week, which was Batman Lost, Numero Uno, Rock Candy Mountain, number 5, and Star Wars 38.
Yes.
Which is the new writer on the book after Jason Aaron left. Gillen is on it. Also, what we're looking forward to this week, Todd and Joe have issues, which was Fortune and Glory this week. And we're going to have spoiler-filled TV talk at the end with Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and No Walking Dead.
Yes, No Walking Dead. I'll be honest, I didn't even get a chance to watch it this week. It's just been a busy last couple days.
Spoiler alert, Joe, the dead walked.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
There's two or three Twitter accounts that I can follow that if I piece together their cryptic tweets, I think I've seen the episode.
Uh-oh.
But that being said, you also thought...
What did I forget?
The beginning, I may not have included in the that email, in the body of the email, but it was definitely in the top of the email. The beginning of a contest.
Yes, we do have a contest.
Yes, the first time that we've had a contest in quite some time.
That's right. My bad. Who knows? It's almost like, I've been sick or under the weather or something.
I might make a separate post for it as well.
Ooh, separate posts.
Yes, we'll see.
We can do that?
Yeah.
If there's a problem with it, remember, let me know so I can let Joe know.
Right. So let's start the news off with... So we tend to keep things positive on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then something negative comes up. And we do our best to... I don't want to say avoid it, but there's really no way to tackle certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the flip side, there are certain stories that are so negative that we have no choice but to address them.
Right.
So in the world at large, and obviously the much narrower scope from the world at large to the world of Hollywood to the much narrower scope of the world of comic books, there have been more and more people speaking out about... sexual misconduct and inappropriate behavior, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So much of it has been known and spoken about publicly for years, but just now things are actually being done about it.
Right.
People who are in high positions using their power in negative ways to physically and mentally abuse others are seeing that power taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though these have been quiet secrets in many cases for the better part of the last 7 to 10 years.
And less secret sometimes. I mean, you hear things on the internet.
Well,
what you can-
well, when I say it's a quiet secret, I mean, it's something that is known. Everyone talks about, but then nobody does anything about it.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. It's out there. Everyone knows it. It's supposed to be a secret, but everyone just talks about it in whispered tones and nothing happens. So one of those dominoes fell in the world of comic books as longtime DC editor Eddie Berganza amidst several years of reports of just horrible conduct. And I think we even talked about this on the show a while ago. Like the mm-hmm. last time that this sort of stuff was in the news with him, we spoke about it. And we kind of addressed saying, like, hey, something should be done, or what has been done, or what will be done, or so on and so forth. And I think we even talked about how he was being moved to books that women weren't writing, or women weren't doing art on.
Mm-hmm.
But he was allowed to keep his job amongst all this.
And he wasn't allowed to go to cons, either.
Right, and then he was banned from going to conventions by DC itself. And then now, finally, amidst all of this, he has lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under normal circumstances, I do not like to see people lose their job, but I do not like to see anyone, men or women, physically, mentally, or sexually abused in any way, shape, or form, more than someone losing their job for doing said behavior.
Right. I mean, I've heard all the arguments and blah, blah, blah. Like, did the crime did his time? I don't know. I just look at it as I was discussing this with somebody, it becomes a how it looks. And that's where we're at now. And plus also anything that he does from here on out is like, you know, he may have made X amount of money for us. It's not worth the chance of it happening again. And I don't think it was DC. I think this was Warner Brothers, you know, especially with everything that's going on, especially in Hollywood with the Weinstein story, that things are getting cleaned in house. And I actually think this is the beginning. I'm not saying it's rampant in comics, but I believe we will see some other names, or at least names that people know about. I don't want to throw any names out that have had histories maybe not get work because of this.
Right. And then conversely, there are people who have these sort of allegations very heavily levied against them, and they are still producing work for major publishers.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, this is probably less of a DC thing and more of a Warner's thing. To me, whatever the reason is, this sort of behavior needs to go.
Oh, I agree. I'm not condoning it.
I'm not saying that you or I or anyone is condoning this, but because it has been such a big thing in the news over the last month or so, and now that it's trickled down to our little comic book world,
mm-hmm.
It's something that I just can't get out of my mind, I guess.
Right.
In just of a general respect for your fellow person sort mm-hmm. of thing. And we could sit here and discuss what sort of person does this. Maybe it's a mental illness. Maybe they had a sort of behavior perpetrated on them at a young age, and that behavior begets that behavior. It does not excuse it. It does not explain it. It does not make it better. But it is a behavior that if you as a person are unable to curb or control, then you need to have whatever power you have that you use this behavior with that power. That if you can't get rid of that behavior, then the power needs to be taken away from you.
Right. And like I was saying, that is most likely Warner Bros. Because DC, well, you know, comics were just such a small part of the bigger company that it was all friends together. It's like, oh, like, well, we can, you know, contain it, blah, blah, blah. He's not a bad guy. Now you have people who have, like, no, you know, relationships with any of these people. It's just the bosses. And like I said, that's where I think most of this came from.
Mm-hmm.
Or I honestly think it would have kept going on. You know what I mean? An old boys club, if you know what I mean. Kind of the way to put it.
Yes.
But hopefully, you know, I know this doesn't fix things, but, you know, you're on the right track at least.
Right. And that's what it starts with, making a statement like this. Hopefully it gets either the people out of whatever positions of power they are in, or they stop this behavior, or lose their jobs or whatever.
Right.
So anyway, moving on to other news, hopefully a little more upbeat news. So it was announced this week that writer of the upcoming Quantum and Woody series, from absolutely better than top 10 publisher Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
More on them later. Daniel really? Kibblesmith is going to be writing a Lockjaw miniseries. Now, the thing about this, I've been out of the Inhuman loop for a while. And I know one of my, I don't want to say quibbles, if you will, but one of my concerns about Lockjaw is, depending on the story, sometimes they would say, he is a dog that has powers. Other times they would say, he was a regular person who, when exposed to the Terrigen Mist, turned into a dog-like creature with powers.
Right.
Other times they tell the story of Karnak or what other Inhumans being cruel, and telling one of those other two origins as a lie to taunt poor Lockjaw.
And then there was the time that Lockjaw could talk,
mm-hmm.
and it turned out to be a joke played on the Thing by the other Inhumans.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff with Lockjaw. But he is probably the best Inhuman by, like, a country mile.
I would say I enjoyed the portrayal of Crystal in the Abnett and Lanning cosmic books when she was married to Ronan the Accuser.
I thought you were going to meant the IMAX two-part movie, Crystal.
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Remember when I said I was going to try to watch more of that show?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
It's all on my DVR. I can't wait to sit down and it's all done.
Mm-hmm. So apparently in one of the many Inhumans books that are being published, the decision has been made to settle Lockjaw's origin, that he is definitely a dog, birthed by a dog, who happens to have the powers of teleportation.
Hmm. I thought maybe he was going to be part Inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
Like Inhuman dog or something?
Right. Well, this miniseries, we're going to find out that Lockjaw has brothers and sisters. We're going to find out more about his origin. And he's going to have D-Man as a sidekick.
Oh, interesting. I know you're a big D-Man, Mark. So.
I am. Oh, this is like the perfect storm of things for me. Kibblesmith is on a book that I'm very much looking forward to. As Todd mentioned, Lockjaw is more or less the best Inhuman by a county mile. And D-Man in there is just icing on the county cake, if you will.
I love icing on the county cake.
Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for that series that is coming out in February. Speaking of books that are coming out maybe in February,
mm-hmm.
is all of the DC New Age of Heroes books. So these are books that were supposed to be started to roll out next month, as the current books in DC continuity all have ads in there for Image. Because that right. was supposed to be the one that leads everything out. It says, spinning out of the events of Metal, Damage. And then it says, the New Age of Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these books all got delayed to February, except for Damage, which is now going to be the middle of January.
Right. Because that was December anyway, I thought.
Right. It was supposed to be December, and now everything's moved back to February.
Right. Now, my two things on this are, one, the Tourette's got moved back, so when Bendis gets there, he can write his FF book.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the other thing was that this, when I saw this, this is what I'm glad, because I was tweeting about this earlier this week, was I was going to do a Joe Sposto notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the previews, it said that I was like, oh, the first book I'm going to write down is The Terrifics. Wait a minute. This, in the previews, it says that this has been moved to February. And I was like, I have to do two pages already. And then I don't know when then they even moved again. So if I had made that crazy notebook, Joe, I would have had to move The Terrifics again. That's already too much work and too confusing. So all this stuff is why I don't do the things you do.
That's what the spreadsheet is for.
Spreadsheet. Joe, I'm having trouble working the notebook, and you want me to use sheets that spread?
Right.
I don't understand.
And they spread on a computer even, so now we're really in your wheelhouse.
Yes, I'm big on computer talk.
But then I guess with this, they also pointed out that in the original announcement of these books, the books were originally supposed to start in September.
Of this month? Of this year?
Yes.
Oh.
In the original, remember when they announced Dark Days? What was it?
Right.
Was it like, it wasn't San Diego, but it was like, here's the list. It's like June, July, The Forge, The Casting, August, Metal, September, October, November is when all the, September, October, November is when all the books were supposed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're all moved to February. Now, is this because of delays with Metal, which I don't think has been delayed yet? Is this because of something happening in Doomsday Clock that these books just need a little bit more time to simmer? It's very unclear, like no real reason has been given. It's just everything's just been kind of pushed back.
And this is where your DC bias shows through, Joe. If this was Marvel, you'd be going crazy. It's, look at this. Marvel's pushback yet another things with the crossover because they don't know what they're doing. And blah, blah, blah. DC does it. And it's like, yeah, let's move on.
I'm attempting to speculate as to why an entire new line of books has been moved back twice. There hasn't been any scuttlebutt as to why. There's been no rumors or speculation or innuendo, if you will. It's just like, yeah, and the first delay wasn't even talked about. It was like, here's these books that are coming out September, October, November. Now they're December, January, February. Now they're all February.
What if I said I had heard they all were getting better endings?
Extra pages?
Extra pages. No, just remember it was like, oh, I could end this crossover even better. So all these one-shots are getting better endings than they had before, but they need more time.
Well, and now see, that's the flip side of your internet media culture.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if Bendis didn't have a Tumblr, and didn't post that on his Tumblr, we would have never known the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
It's in some cases, like books being delayed for whatever reason, unless it's like an illness. Like, remember when Civil War got delayed because McNiven had a sore throat?
Was it a sore throat or he broke his ankle?
It was something like that. It was,
right.
It was definitely not his hand was broken in a car accident. And he has to reteach himself up to draw with his other hand a la Howard Porter.
Right. Porter time. But yeah.
Right. It was, we were told, here is the specific reason that this book is now not only going to be delayed, now not only going to have an extra issue tacked onto it, an extra issue that's going to be larger. In the middle of me writing it, I've thought of a better ending.
It happens, Joe.
Okay. That very well could be happening with all of these DC New Age of Heroes books. Mm-hmm. But DC, at the very least, has this sort of thing on lockdown, and no one's posting it to their Scribd account. These books are
being
delayed.
Have you been on Snyder's Scribd account? Have you? Let me ask you.
I've only seen his dry erase board.
Oh.
And those are pretty concrete. Like, you really can't change those.
He's too busy throwing his homemade batarangs at trees outside to be writing on accounts.
He's spending quality time with his kids.
Yes.
But yeah, so Todd has convinced me. This is terrible. I boycott DC because they're delaying their books and not telling me why.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. But I'm sure we'll know once these other books come out, and, you know, or maybe we won't. It'll be better that way if we don't know.
Maybe it'll be a better ending. We'll never know.
Right. They'll release the original less good ending in the oversized omnibus with word balloons missing and out of order.
That's right. Oh, don't even get me started on that. So, we're working on that.
Speaking of DC, we talked about Bendis and his announcement last week of him going to DC. Well, more speculation, rumors, and innuendo that his protege, Jonathan Hickman, might also be going to DC as well. Now, he hasn't put anything out from Marvel in quite some time. I think the last thing that he did was Secret Wars, which was about 2 years ago.
Right, and maybe the Avengers for a little bit after that. There might have been some Avenger fallout in the ongoing.
Right, that's but it. He was one of those guys that DC or Marvel was positioning as a big deal. As I mentioned before, he was a protege of Bendis, and I'll never forget when Dark Reign, maybe? The Secret Warriors book came out. Remember the Secret Warriors book?
Was that the one with Penance?
No, you're thinking of Thunderbolts.
Okay.
Secret Warriors was with, like, the young kid characters, and I think, like, some S.H.I.E.L.D. remnant folks were in there.
Okay.
Let me look that up here real quick.
Why don't you look that up real quick?
So it was coming out of Dark Reign. Nope. Not that. They were in, like, Mighty Avengers during Secret Invasion. That's what it was.
So, okay, so that's, yeah, Secret Invasion is different.
Right, and it was a lot of, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. people. Like, Quake was in there, who later went on to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that sort of jazz.
Daisy!
Daisy, there you go. Now is that ringing a bell?
Yes.
Okay. So the book was published and solicited with right on the cover, and it says, you know, written by Brian Michael Bendis and Jonathan Hickman. And that's what it said on the book for the entirety of its run.
Mm-hmm.
Bendis would give interviews and people would ask him, they're like, oh, you know, you're writing this and you're writing that and you're writing Secret Warriors. And he goes, and he would say, and it shocked me at the time. He would say, I have nothing to do with that book. It's all Hickman writing. They just put my name on the cover.
Wow.
Now, obviously, he's like, Marvel could just put Brian Michael Bendis' name on every book that they're publishing.
Right.
But this is a book that he was obviously letting them put his name on because, you know, the elements of whatever story that Hickman was writing started in books that Bendis was writing, like Avengers and Mighty Avengers and Secret Invasion and all that sort of jazz. But the entirety of the time the book was published said by written by Brian Michael Bendis and Jonathan Hickman, and Bendis would vehemently say, I'm not writing that book. It's all Hickman. I have nothing to do with it. And he wasn't saying it in like a negative way. He was saying it as like, hey, I'm just stating facts.
That's right. Facts are important.
So
no fake news here.
Right. So the fact that Bendis would allow, his name to be put on a book to essentially help a friend get some sales, and obviously that led to much bigger and brighter things for Hickman. One could only imagine, if Hickman is going to DC, who the next person from Bendis' little clique that is either at Marvel or in between Marvel or what have you could be going to DC.
I could just see it now. They'll get over there and they'll be like the BWO, the Bendis World Order.
Oh my goodness.
That would be fantastic.
Well, when this happened last week, you know, everyone who is a comic book and a wrestling fan was making those allusions to the NWO and all that sort of jazz from back in the day. And based on that, I can only hope
just as a nod to the comic book folks out there, the first couple interviews or books that are published by Bendis at DC where it says writer, it just says, you know who it's written by.
I think it'd be really cool because I think this is Marvel sending over the people, the creators, to destroy DC from the inside. And that's really what's happening. And I can't wait till fake Hickman and fake Brian Michael Bendis write books. Hey, yo, I'm the writer.
So what would be the comic book equivalent of the Ottawa Betrayal?
Oh,
that causes, who would be Marvel's Bret Hart? Jason Aaron, maybe?
He would have to be because he's the darling boy right now.
Right.
Over there. He's got, because he's the thing, and it's just be like, he just like, what? I don't know. Quesada told me I was going to win. I don't know what happened.
I don't want Thor to be taken off this title in my home country of the United States.
That's right. And does that make Quesada Vince?
Yes. Yes, it does.
That would be fantastic.
They do have similar hairstyles.
Right. So there you go. It's it's an invasion. There's betrayals. It's fantastic.
So last but not least in the news is this weekend, in addition to the filmatic debut of the Justice League, the Punisher series starring Jon Bernthal debuts on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And if the dirt sheets, and by dirt sheets I mean the Wall Street Journal, is to be believed, the Punisher could be the last of the Marvel series that are going to be on Netflix. Now, have they started filming on Daredevil 3?
I believe at least production has started.
Okay.
I don't know if filming has. I didn't get my Variety this week, mm-hmm. so...
So the word is that Punisher could very well be the last of the Marvel shows that are on Netflix, of course, because it is the, you know, the 2010s, and everyone is going to have their own separate streaming service. Just within recent months, Disney has slowly but surely pulling all of their stuff off Netflix, where about a year ago, there was the announcement that they had the exclusive deal where all of their stuff was going to be on Netflix. And I think in certain countries it still is.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have like Netflix Canada or Netflix some other country, you could still get the Star Wars, the newer Star Wars stuff or various Disney shows or movies. But obviously alongside your Hulu and your Netflix, Disney is going to be starting their own streaming service, which is going to have all of their properties, which is, you know, everything else in the world.
Right.
Which also means that the stuff that currently exists on Netflix from Marvel will eventually going over to whatever that Disney streaming platform is.
Right. Which, small note, I think Longbox Heroes needs their own streaming, but it would be much smaller. We would call it the Longbox Hero Trickle, I think would be good. But the fact that this may happen, probably will happen, because everybody needs their own streaming anymore. I really only have Netflix anymore.
Right.
For the Marvel shows. So if they go, I don't know what I would keep. I don't know what I would pay $9 or whatever it is a month, $10 for Netflix, because it seems like every couple months you get your Marvel show and that's it. I don't watch movies. I don't watch the CW repeats that they have on there. Like if I was going to Supergirl or whatever. There's nothing. Their movie selection on Netflix isn't very good. So I don't know. If this happens, does that mean maybe I would get the Disney streaming? Probably, depending on the price, as long as they didn't whack me. So I think this is going to be big when it does happen.
Now, the other thing, of course, is obviously not you or I, but those CW shows, whether it be Riverdale or the DC shows, those shows go up on Netflix almost as soon as the season is over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is going to be one of the last bastions that Netflix has. And of course, their other original programming. You know, obviously, with the news that we talked about at the beginning of the show about their original programming, something like, say, a House of Cards, which is probably...
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things is something. Transparent. I know they do a lot of other original series on there. I know they have a lot of other exclusives, like with companies like DreamWorks still. But then on the flip side, I know a lot of CBS-produced TV shows all came off Netflix on November 1st.
Right, because when Star Trek started the CBS streaming.
Yes.
And on top of that, I know that, remember there was a story we had a while back that CW was going to take their shows away in a certain year for the superhero stuff. So I'm wondering if Warner's is trying to do their own streaming thing.
Right, and we had talked about that a while ago, that Warner was talking about their own streaming thing, where all of their, you know, not just DC stuff, but of course their whole back catalog. But now you're going to end up having everything divided up. And, you know, either they're all going to have to lower their price, or Netflix is going to have to, you know, make some sort of power play and get in bed with someone.
Right.
That's so, not going to leave them, or they're going to have to purchase, even because they have a lot of money, Netflix. They're spending like $7 billion on original programming over the next several years. They're making plays to bring all this anime that's currently not available in the United States, that they're going through the channels of, you know, translating it and doing the
dubbing,
the Americanization of it. And like, I'm not saying that in a bad way, but obviously most anime is aired in Japan in Japanese with no English subtitles, but they're actually going through the trouble to put the English subtitles in there, re-record the English dialogue for it and put it on there. Stuff that in the past would take years to get DVD or Blu-ray transfers, and Netflix is like, this is going to be one of our top five priorities in the coming years, because they know that's a market that if they can capture and keep, you know, maybe that would be enough to replace the people that would leave because the CBS shows are gone, or when Warner starts their own separate service, or the Disney stuff officially is all gone.
And what does this mean for cable companies, Joe?
Well, cable companies, between you, they need to bite the bullet and just start giving away what they have, which ain't much, for free.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what to tell you. I think it's crazy. I was discussing this with somebody today about, like, you know, stations and all the cart and I don't know. I it's all changing so fast, that we'll have to see where it all goes. Like you said, because I can't afford 50 streaming services and whatever. So we'll have to see. I'm very interested in what the future is going to take. And also, just because you mentioned it, you know, Justice League is coming out this weekend, so I'm going to see that. And then I'll be watching Punisher over the weekend. So, like, oh my God, there's like too much comic book stuff sometimes, Joe.
Right, but I can definitely see myself getting whatever Disney's is, just because they have so much.
Yeah, between the Star Wars, like, Star Wars is a big property. The Marvel comic stuff is right there. You have two big, you know, like, you have diehard fans. You know what I mean? So that's a good start. That's the way you want to hook people.
Right. And again, even if it's just the Marvel movies available all the time whenever I want them.
And then they're going to have all the animated stuff. All the Disney, like, big animated, like, you could turn on Aladdin whenever you want. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be crazy. It's almost like Disney knows how to make money.
Almost. They're making a little bit more money than we are.
Now if they could just buy other properties and bring them home, that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, boy. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
All right. So it's a hefty news segment this week. And things can only get heftier as we go on, so I'll just blur through this. Conventions this weekend. There is a convention in New Jersey called the New Jersey Comic Expo, which is more of your comic book folk convention. Tom DeFell, Larry Hama, Gail Simone, Garth Ennis are, I think, co-guests of honor. And Keith Giffen and Kevin Maguire are going to be there.
Nice. Good. Go visit them. Say hi.
Bring your misprinted JLI Omnibuy with them.
Maybe they could, you know, move the pages around and write in word balloons for you.
Right. By magic.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two comic book conventions happening in Florida this weekend. One is in Claremont, Florida, with such folks there as Bob Layton and Butch Patrick.
Mm.
And then there is the Southwest Florida Comic Con in Fort Myers, which has Fabian Nicenza and Mark Bagley there, if you wanted to get some hot 90s comic action. But maybe you're there for some hot early 80s wrestling action, as Tito Santana and Brutus the Barber Beefcake is going to be there as well.
Okay.
So all of that will be included in the show notes, as will information about the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com or soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. It has been very busy over there over the last 2 weeks, as mentioned at the top of the show, primarily because a friend of the show, previous guest on special editions of this show, which I think he forgot to include when he was recently counting up all the podcasts that he's appeared on, Jason Kirk of Podvocacy is doing a podcast a day for November, which is podcast month, which I was unaware of. This is not on the calendar, just so you know.
But they, I am sending you your podcast card. I don't know if you got it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a new Hallmark big push, you know. It's podcasting season.
Right. I would go to my local Hallmark store, but all of them are closed.
Not the one at the Dirt Mall in Scranton.
Oh, no?
Yeah, that one's open.
That's the last one.
That's the last bastion right
there. Where else are we going to buy $30 ornaments, Todd?
Well, when we get to the click-through, we'll talk about that.
Okay. So, of course, anytime any of the shows in the network appear, or anytime anyone from the shows on the network appear on other shows, it'll be on the website. I actually am going to be on Puzzle Warriors 3 this week.
Wow.
Yes, and there has been a hotly debated situation on there, Todd. During the course of the show, they take a chunk of the show, and it's not a big chunk, Todd. It's maybe about a 5 to 7 minute chunk, where Ian will discuss at length a pie, how to prepare a certain type of pie, what's the best way to eat, enjoy this sort of pie. And I don't want to say that I've been spearheading the movement to not have them do this, but they took it to a poll on their website, and let's just say Dump the Segment is at a hefty 60% vote.
Let me get out my Socko accounts for you.
Oh, I'm not going to say that I did, but I did. that being said, I'm very happy to be on the episode of Puzzle Warriors 3 this week, where they will officially announce that the pie segment is no more.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm a monster.
You are a pie hater.
I am a... I'm a cake man, and that's not just because my wife makes cakes.
Oh, bake me a wish.
Hey, remember that time we got a free cake?
It was delightful.
It was delightful.
And I never did get a handy holder, but I did get a transporter.
We acted like we did get a handy holder. Remember that, too?
Oh, I love, you know, when we kayfabe it.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah.
Oh. So also included in the show notes is the plethora of digital sales going on. Dark Horse is having a sale on what they refer to as historical fiction. Included in there is stuff like 300 and something called Action Philosophers, which was the precursor to what Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy are currently doing elsewhere, where they did the Secret History of Comics, which might come up a little bit later on the show here as well.
Wow. Good segue.
Good segue. Also, DC is having a double sale. That Justice League sale that we talked about last week, which is just called Justice League Part 1, is still being held over, as is a Justice League All-In sale. The one from last week included a lot of the new Rebirth stuff, which is stuff that typically does not get lower priced. This Justice League All-In sale is pretty much everything else in trade. Most importantly, you can get the entire run of Justice League International, Giffen and DeMatteis era Justice League International, for under $36.
Yes, and that has the pages in order with all the word balloons.
Right, and I typically know... when they miss that sort of stuff,
They're good at fixing that much quicker digitally.
And then the printed copies they mailed out? Yeah, usually.
Now, I also want to give them a nod here. Not to say that I don't think that it's... these are included in those collections.
Mm-hmm.
But singly, just in case you wanted them, they also have the first 6 issues of Justice League Quarterly individually.
And that's right around all you need for the quarterlies.
Really?
Yeah, well, of the good stories. After that, it's you start to get into the bad Justice League International stuff.
Right, right. The early 90s stuff, like 92, right. 93.
Right. I'm just saying, I think right around 6 is the last. Like, when I keep my Justice League International boxes together, mm-hmm. like, there's the good Justice League International, and then there's, like, where it ends, and I'm like, okay, that goes over there, and I know that, like, quarterly 7 and up is the, and I say it with my nose turned up a little bit, the over there box.
That's when, well, let's not cast dispersions, but Dynamite is still having a sale on The Boys. Mm-hmm. Boom is having a sale on Mark Waid's Irredeemable and Incorruptible. Marvel, I think, is still having a sale on their Daredevil stuff, and it's all trades, and there's tons of good stuff in there. The entire Mark Waid run is collected at like $5 a trade. Some of the trades are even as low as $3.
That's right, Daredevil's creator, right?
Right. Also, Image is having a sale on their crime books, and this is everything from Killer Be Killed to Fatale to Criminal to Southern Bastards.
Mm. I wonder if they'll get Torso and Goldfish and...
More on that later as well.
Another tease.
And again, there's a lot of older stuff in here as well, and there's a lot of stuff where they want it in single issues or where they want it in trade. All that stuff is here in the Image side of things. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of great picks to get stuff digitally. You know, you really can't beat the entire run of Southern Bastards for $13.
No, you can't.
No, that's a good deal. All the freebies are listed here as well, and they've been updated. And Todd, let me ask if you see a trend here.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel updated their digital freebies. They have the first issue of Punisher War Journal from 2006.
Okay.
They have the first issue of The Punisher from 2009.
Right.
They have the first issue of Punisher War Zone from 2012. And they have the first issue of the current ongoing Punisher book that started just last year. All of those are the freebies presented by Marvel this week.
I can discern no pattern, Joe.
They all begin with P. They all begin with P.
They begin with pun.
Pun. And you're a pun master, so.
Yes.
All right. Let's get into what we read from that week, Todd. I'm going to let you start things off because I've talked for a while and I'm not running out of steam, but I might be.
That's right. I'm going to start with the book I was looking forward to most, which was Rock Candy Mountain number 5 by Kyle Starks. This basically, we've learned a lot about Jackson the Hobo up to this point, but mostly about his hobo life. This is, we learn before he became a hobo, that he had a family, that he was drafted in the war, why he created the deal with the devil, learned about that he can you know take on any one man and never lose at the time, but we find out that he gets drafted and he goes off to the war, and you know we find out all the things that get us caught up to what we need to know, and even a little bit of the book he has that's taking him to the Rock Candy Mountain. And I enjoyed the backstory. This book is fun. And then we get to the present too, where we find out that, Boss Flimbo of the Hobo Mafia, the leader of the Hobo Mafia, who has his vendetta against Jackson, is rounding up all the hobos to take him on. And Joe, did you know he's bringing in all the hobos? All the hobos, including Mississippi Dry Rub, Overdue Life Book, and the man I want to meet, Evergreen Fart Doctor. I'm like, this book, it's like I said, it's touching in like the backstory we get about his family, and then it's totally ridiculous at times, but I am having a blast, and I think Kyle Starks' dialogue in the past issues and this issue, It's what I love. It's so kooky at times, but it has heart. Rock Candy Mountain is every time I read it, just slightly goes up rung on my list of the books I'm reading right now.
You know, obviously, as mentioned here on the show, Kyle is a good man, friend of the show, wrestling fan as well. And again, I've known him for a long time. I'm glad to see that not only is he having such success with this book, but this book is fantastic, as Todd mentioned. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not even a complaint, but it's a concern that I have, I guess, in that Jackson's origin is very Saint of Killers-ish. And I'm only saying that in a way that this is not a... This is the only two times this trope has been done in an origin story.
Mm-hmm.
But these are two times in two fantastic books where that origin has been used. And I got no problem with it. I'm just saying that as I'm reading this story, I'm like, oh, okay, I know where this is going because I've read the Saint of Killers origin.
Right. And
granted, he's not going off to get medicine when it happens, and there's not the train derailment, but, you know, it's... Some people would say it's like poetry, so it rhymes.
Right, and I mean, like, man, it feels... I mean, it was just yesterday when we read that in, like, 2002 with the Saint of Killers. So, yeah, you know what? I don't mind every 15 years retelling
right,
the same
I.
story.
Neither do I, but it was just, like, one of those things, like, when that origin started, obviously we knew it was going to be tragic. It was just... You know, the tragedy felt familiar is all.
And that's one of the things, honestly, that we don't talk about enough. Me and you have read comics a long time.
Yes.
And we have seen, like, a lot of the same stories done. And that's why, like, when we do get a Civil War 2, I'm like, oh, God. Like, I read Civil War, you know, and how, you know, a villain, you know, a hero is being, you know, a villain is pretending to be a hero. They did that once. Now we're going to see it till the end of time. So, like you said, I'm shocked that this trope actually hasn't done more in comics.
Right. And the only other thing I want to mention is Kyle Starks is also a good follow on Twitter. If you're not following him on Twitter, you know, a lot of the stuff, of course, is publicizing all the stuff that he is coming out, which is what you're supposed to do with your Twitter. But also he'll have gems in there like the other day. His wife said, "You want to go to lunch?" And his response was, "These hobo fights ain't gonna draw themselves."
Yeah. Yeah, I hope Evergreen Fart Doctors doesn't get killed anytime soon.
Oh, I'm sure if it's not in a small hallway, he's going to be seeing an untimely end.
Oh.
Sadly. This is a very good book. I highly recommend it.
Right.
The book I was most looking forward to coming out this week was Batman Lost, number one, written by Scott Snyder, with art by Olivier Coipel, amongst others. It felt as there was a lot of "and others" in there as well.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot.
So this essentially is our Batman, you know, rebirth Batman, if you will, who is trapped by Barbados. And this is Batman trying to get out of the trap. I liked the way that it began with every Batman story ever happening. And they're all stories on a bookshelf that an old Bruce Wayne is reading to a grandchild. And it's when he starts reading one of the books and the story that's happening in the book is not happening the way that he remembers it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he kind of figures out what's going on, because of course he does, because he's Batman. A lot of other alternate reality Bat titles and Bat stories get homages and nods and so forth in here. And while I enjoyed this, if I wasn't reading Metal, I probably wouldn't have picked this up. But if you are someone who enjoys this type of story out of a Batman, where everything that has ever happened in Batman, all the crazy stories, even going back to like the 60s and the 50s with the rainbow costumes and all that sort of stuff, like where all that stuff happened and is acknowledged, then I think this would be something that you would enjoy, just for that little bit of a nod to those things happening.
See, now I would have to disagree.
Okay.
Just because now I'm at the point now where this Batman metal is too big, and I'm just like, I'm just going to start sticking to the main stories. And I think, like you said, if you didn't read metal and you were just like, oh, all this, this would be a good story where all the, you know, the stories happen. I don't think it would be a good story for anybody who's not real. I think this would be totally confusing, and it really doesn't make any sense if you're not reading metal. That being said, I enjoyed a couple of parts about it, but then it relied heavily on the time-traveling Batman that was the Morrison, which I don't know if you know, I'm not a big fan of Grant Morrison, so I didn't like that run, and I was like, I don't know. To me, like I said, when Batman gets really out there like this, it's not for me. So I didn't like Batman Lost pretty much at all because of it. I prefer him doing his street level crime stuff, not fighting gods from the beginning of time. But that's just me, and I've liked metal a little more, but the Lost one shot just, no pun intended, lost me.
And again, obviously it felt a little Morrison-y.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I had a feeling you weren't going to like it. But I think I'm okay with that.
That's fine. We're talking about me. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't like, you can't like everything that comes down the way.
You can like everything, but you really shouldn't.
That is true.
So the last book that we're going to discuss is Star Wars number 38, written by Kieran Gillen with art by Salvador LaRocca. This is the first non-Jason Aaron written issue of Star Wars. Kieran Gillen previously had been writing the Darth Vader book, and I think he had been previously writing Dr. Aphra as well. I think someone else has taken over Dr. Aphra, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not 100% sure, but maybe.
So, with that being said, what did you think of this?
I enjoyed Star Wars. It had all the characters in there that we loved. I thought the art was good. I mean, if you like the way Harrison Ford looked in Star Wars, you're getting it in this book, Luke, because they're pretty much, I mean, I don't know how he does the art. It might be lightboxed at times. And I like the fact that Gillen brought back the royal person from that Darth Vader annual years ago on the mining colony. So we're getting familiar characters that Gillen set up. That being said, though, I prefer Gillen on Darth Vader. He was great with Darth Vader as a character. It just seems like I could just tell that this wasn't Jason Aaron, but it wasn't bad. It was still really good, but I don't know, there was some, I just think Jason Aaron's, I don't know if I need to get used to it or whatever. I'm going to give him a chance, but I don't know. I could just tell it wasn't Jason Aaron. I don't know if it's just because of the name, and I knew it. I don't know how to explain it, if that makes any sense.
I'm with you in those feelings. And my other thing was, this is the first of the Star Wars books, at least that I'm reading, that pays such, I guess, heavy nods to Rogue One.
Yes, I did kind of like that a little bit.
I'm not sure how I feel about that just yet.
Well, I think it's because... Go ahead, I'm sorry, I don't want to step on you.
No. I think they should have had Jason Aaron maybe do it a little bit at first, so that we weren't getting a new writer, a new artist, and acknowledgement of Rogue One all in the same issue.
Right.
It might have been a little bit much for a stupid person, me, to be like, okay, this is really now a new book, instead of gradually easing us in to the new team, the new storylines, and the new everything.
Right. I see what you're saying. I didn't mind. I actually think the coolest part about the book was working Rogue One stuff into it, to see where it goes. And like I said, the aforementioned royalty character from his run on Darth Vader. But I get what you're saying, because I kind of agree with you. I think, like you said, there's so much new here that it feels like a truly fresh start on Star Wars. For a book that's been around for 30 some issues and annuals. So like I said, he's a good writer. I love him on Darth Vader, so he's definitely getting a chance on Star Wars. But it'll be interesting to see from here on out.
Absolutely. Still sticking with it. It was just a little bit more of a learning curve than I was getting than I was ready for.
Right.
And the photorealisticness is not something that's new to Salvador La Roca,
mm-hmm.
but because he's doing it with people that existed, it was a little weird.
But he's been on Star Wars before, hasn't he?
He's done bits and pieces there, but I don't know. Just
again, no, I think
it was just a weird feeling is all. It's not a bad feeling, just a different feeling, you know?
There was a couple of shots, I know what you're saying, but
right.
He does draw a pretty Millennium Falcon.
He certainly does. That is a pretty ship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is everything from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com, I'm not going to give it time because it was late this week. We put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them sent to your home, whether you wait for them in trade, how is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, be ready for your books to be coming out this week. Todd and I are both keeping a tally of not only how many books we're purchasing over the course of the calendar year, 2017, broken out by publisher, but we're also attempting to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out. That's kind of the tried and true one. Next year, we're going to do Dollars Spent, which is going to be harrowing around this time next year.
Ugh. When you realize what you spent in comics.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I've never done it. It's a scary thing.
Todd, would you believe I've been doing it?
Oh, then maybe we shouldn't do it.
Well, it's not as... Todd, it's almost as though I have a spreadsheet.
And a notebook.
And a notebook where I keep track of these things.
Now I'm sad.
It's easier than you think, Todd. See, when you make a purchase, they give you a little piece of paper.
Right. Yes.
And on that piece of paper, the piece of paper is called a receipt.
Right.
You just keep those in your pocket. At the end of the year, you'll have 52 of them.
Mm.
Then you add them all up, and then you cry. And then you can use those receipts to wipe your tears.
Wipe something, anyway. Can I have two receipts?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you already have 52. I don't know why you need two. Oh, that's why.
Yeah. Como D, son.
So, you started the show, so you have to guess.
Yes, you have to guess, and I have no idea. I'm looking over your list. Is the book you are looking to most Doctor Strange 381?
It is Doctor Strange 381.
Yeah, I knew it, because it was one of them big number books that the kids love today.
New writer on the book is Donny Cates, who did Redneck, amongst other things. He's also taking over the Thanos book. And I'm willing to give it a try just because I enjoyed his little turn on Redneck, but more so because the cover is one of those images that when you see it, it's going to grab you. It grabbed me, and I'm like, I need to know what this story is. And it's essentially Loki is now Sorcerer Supreme.
Oh, anytime somebody becomes Sorcerer Supreme, that's awesome.
Right, somebody new, somebody who's like a known character, someone who might be crazy, becomes Sorcerer Supreme, I'm all about it.
Right. And didn't that writer, wasn't he Ralph Malph on Happy Days?
No, you're thinking of Donny Most.
Oh, okay. I got confused for a second.
Right. Not to be confused with Ted McGinley. Write down that name, please.
Write down Ted McGinley? Yep. I think we talked about Ted McGinley already.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
So, looking at your list, I have no idea. There's nothing new that you're picking up, so I'm going to take a stab in the dark and guess the one that you're most looking forward to coming out this week is Mighty Thor 701.
No, it was Batman, but that was an even choice. I mean, there's nothing here that, you know what I mean? Like that, like you said, stands out that we haven't talked about over time. So I don't have one of those big books, and I've just been enjoying the Tom King on Batman. So that's my default right now.
Okay. No problem. Just got to grab that, throw it on the pile, and
yeah,
we're good to go.
Pile throwing.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out all the other stuff that's on there, as everything Todd and I have ever done on the internet exists there, whether it be past episodes of this show, past episodes of After Dark, where this week's After Dark is going to be the announcement of the next Gallifrey Birds, the penultimate Gallifrey Birds. Second to last is penultimate?
Yes.
Okay. We need to figure out with the thing that we're doing next year, even though it's not, or may not be, Doctor Who related. Are we going to call it Gallifrey Birds, or do we have another name that we were throwing around for it?
We don't have another name for it yet, but I have so many stupid, I don't know, we'll discuss.
All right. So there's that, of course, past poll posts, past Todd and Joe have issues. Todd is doing a great job at reminding people about doing their pigskin pick'ems. How are we doing with those? How is everybody doing? I know Ace had a good week, being that he figured out you could just pick the favorites.
Well, that's good. Last I looked, he figured out the little green bars.
Yes.
That's what he needed. I'm glad. Now once I start teaching him point spreads and I take him to the bookmakers, it's all going to be good. But I'm looking up the groups right now, and right now, Peanut Butter Jelly Time is in number one, but that's the tiebreaker for our local retailer is tied with them, but the tiebreaker gets them number two. For me, I'm three out of first place, mm-hmm. and then everybody else I don't care about.
Do we know who Peanut Butter Jelly Time is?
No, that I know of. Mm-hmm. But they've been making the pick since the beginning, so
all right.
They must know how to do this somehow.
They must.
So if you're Peanut Butter Jelly Time, and you want to let us know who you are, because we're genuinely curious. I know who Chairman Meow is.
Right.
I don't know who Hazard Hicks is. Jake Bat 788, I don't know who it is. So everyone's before me after that, I know. And that's all really matters, who's in front of me. Because I'm about to make my move with, like, it's like, I think there's, like, 7 weeks left. I'm going to wait until around 4 weeks left to make my move, to make it exciting.
Oh, there you go.
Exciting.
These have all just been practice rounds.
That's right. Unless my cardio isn't up to it and I get gassed, as the kids say, and I turn Shane purple. But anyway.
Oh my goodness. So you're over there, of course, be sure to purchase something through our store, whether it be a t-shirt or a sticker with our fancy logo on them. Pins never coming ever.
What?
You heard me. But you could purchase anything to your heart's content through our Amazon link at the top of the page. The holidays are upon us, Todd. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Terry Tuesday. Do people buy Terry Tuesday gifts? I know. Yeah. I do.
Terry, that is one of the phrases and hashtags. I don't know, that somehow got muted on my phone. I dropped it, and one day, Terry Tuesday was muted on my phone.
You can't figure out basic technology, but that you figured out.
Oh, I figured it out fast, Joe.
Oh, my goodness. So, some of the notable purchases through the Amazon click-through. Was someone purchased a pair of Wrangler Authentic premium relaxed bootcut jeans.
Ooh, that might have been me. No.
And someone also purchased a Samsung 55-inch 4K HD TV.
Ooh, that's an interesting purchase.
Yes, and I have a lead on a leaf blower that might be coming next week.
Oh, what if they're all leaf blowers are the best? You know what they do? They blow leaves, Joe.
Right. Now, Todd, you do have a Todd's Art Attack before we get into Todd and Joe have issues and the announcement of our contest?
Yes, I have a...
And talk.
And TV talk. We have a... Someone sent in, Euronymous sent in a Bernie Wrightson piece that he got. Mm-hmm. Before he said it was his top three. He lucked into getting a Wrightson before he passed. And there is a story to tell for a price. I'm not about giving money. I'm about getting money.
All right.
So I don't know if I need to hear that story that bad if I got to pay. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But it is a nice piece, and he should give it to me. So, but that's his piece, and I like it very much. And my piece is a Fred Hembeck Jonah Hex, Old West Jonah Hex sketch card. Fred Hembeck on eBay does these sketch cards, and I don't often say how much I pay for cards, but are for art, but he does them. They start out at $9.99 for a bid, and not only do you get the card, the art, but you get one of those plastic, top loader sleeves for them, and he sends them to you. Usually you can get them for the first bid, so I'm all about it. I managed to get the Old West one for $9.99 plus shipping, so it was like $3. So it was like $12, $13, and colored. He colors them. So I'm like, if you can check for Fred Hembeck's eBay, and right now he's doing for $19 sketch cards, but it's comic book characters with Santa Claus.
Oh, that's fun.
So yeah, so I think that's really cool. So yeah, and the thing I love most about Fred Hembeck is his squiggle knees. If anybody knows Fred Hembeck's art, you know what his squiggle knees are. The little, like, it's almost like an ampersand sign that, like a vortex that he does for the knees. And it's his, to me, it's his, like, that's his look. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, everyone, for sharing your art that you got or purchased or otherwise with us. That's always fun to discuss. So are we doing – let's do Todd and Joe Have Issues first, and then we'll do the contest, and then we'll do TV talk.
Right.
If that's acceptable to you.
You know what? You're in charge, Joe. You're the president of this show, so.
It was voted upon.
Yes. I have to impeach you, but that's a whole other story.
Right. Good luck with that. I got more Socko accounts than you even know what to do.
I might immango you instead of impeach.
Ugh,
yeah, good jokes. Great jokes.
So, our book that was chosen was Fortune and Glory by Brian Michael Bendis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is one of those things where I mentioned it a little bit in the in the post for Todd and Joe Have Issues, where the Bendis came out. And Todd's like, oh, I have a book, but I don't know. It's a Bendis heavy, so maybe you pick something Bendis-y, right?
Right.
So I'm like, oh, what's something Bendis-y I could pick? And then I'm like, oh, I remember I read Fortune and Glory. I have this little tiny book that it was published in. This will be great. Little did I realize or not remember that it was a 3-issue miniseries that was collected in all of this, right?
Right.
So Have Issues ended up being Have 3 issues this time. Then, on the flip side of things, with the recent announcement of Brian Michael Bendis leaving Marvel and going to DC, it seems as though all of his creator-owned stuff that had been previously at other companies, like Oni, like this book, or Image at other books, or Icon at Marvel, are all disappeared from the internet. Like, you can't get them digitally. They're off Comixology. They're off Amazon Digital. Like, you could buy physical copies of these things, of course, but short notice to get something ordered on a Wednesday and have it shipped and read and everything else like that. It was a little bit more trouble than I'd originally thought it was going to be.
That's right. There was no driving to the super secret science job to borrow a copy.
Right, doing a handoff as Todd drove by and didn't even slow down as I threw the book at him.
That's right, in a dark parking lot. So
right, so Todd, sorry.
It was like a Spectrox handoff.
Oh boy, no, those happen a little bit closer to home. But anyway,
okay.
So this is a book that I probably didn't even need to read, but it was one of those things that I did read just to kind of familiarize myself again with the material. And this is something that you had never read before, correct?
No, I read it years ago.
Oh, okay.
But I only remembered like 2 or 3 gags, and I actually confused it with a prose story by Neil Gaiman, which does pretty much the same thing. It's his, like, trying to sell a pitch in Hollywood. I mean, granted, he's changed like a lot of the, and I think there's a supernatural element to it too, but it was basically him telling the story of like meeting these faceless cloned people that you see in Hollywood. So we'll just see, like, I was like, oh, well, what I remember here was from the Neil Gaiman story, and what I remember from here was the Brian Michael Bendis story. So it was interesting after all these years to reread it again.
Right. And essentially, as we mentioned there and we'll mention here, this is the story of Brian Michael Bendis
still young, still wet behind the ears. He hasn't even gotten his break at Image yet, let alone at Marvel. He had done a few indie books, most notably Goldfish, and what was the other
Jinx?
One? Jinx. So it's him shopping those around to Hollywood, and all the nonsense that happens when you are dealing with Hollywood people in the mid to late 90s. And then, of course, they are doing Torso during the midst of it, and he and Mark and Draco are creating Torso as they're shopping Torso around to also be made into a movie. And as I mentioned in the write-up for this, reads now again for the first time in, I would probably say, at least 7 or 8 years. There is so much stuff in here that I think is so valuable for any creative person in any forum who is looking to go to that next level, whether you're a writer, whether you're an artist, whether you're a professional wrestler, whether you're a comedian, whatever form of art you are in. I think there are so many great lessons to be told and to be gleaned from this book.
Really?
Yes. Just in the way that expectations need to be set. And again, this is a you know, it's essentially a true life story. But the main crux of this book is never be afraid to say no. If you're getting a bad feeling, if you get a vibe, if you get a something, don't be afraid to say no and walk out.
Well, the thing I liked about that was because he had the option to do it. Because his agent slash friend was telling him, is like, you have a day job. You do comics. You have something to go back to. A lot of the people here, he's like, have nothing. They have to sell what they do or they don't eat. And I thought that was an interesting take on it as opposed to like what you're saying. I get, and I do agree, that's great advice. But it just seemed like it was lucky enough that he had the option to do that. A lot of people don't get to say no. They have to take whatever they can get because they're working hand to mouth. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that is an interesting take on it.
But I really like this. This is one of those books that really made me fall in love with Bendis. And it's a book like this, or, you know, you talk about Torso. You talk about those early issues of Sam and Twitch that he did. You know, the early run of Ultimate Spider-Man. He's got a lot of at-bats, and a majority of those at-bats are triples at best.
Right. And my favorite part of the book, reading it now and as a comic book fan and as so many years later, is him in the early parts discussing what he does for a living. And he's like, and I write comics. And I don't write the ones with claws or capes. I write alternative comics. What's an alternative comics? It's something nobody knows anything about. And how far we've come from the beginning of this comic. Do you know what I mean? To Brubaker doing Kill or Be Killed and Vaughn doing Saga, and how this stuff is getting noticed more and more and more and more, and how it's almost better to do that because you get all of the, you know, like you have Kirkman now, like that changes everything. If you know what I'm trying to say, it's just the way like independent comics were looked at all those years ago as to how independent comics are looked at now. They're still not, you know, the claws and the capes, like he says, because those are always going to be the big ones. But, you know, the industry has changed. And I found it fascinating to take the, you know, the Wayback Machine and see how it was looked at back then. My favorite part of the book.
Yes, and obviously, unfortunately, a little bit more difficult to find today than it was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely worth your read if you can get your hands on it. I'm sure once the DC deal gets shook out, it might be a little bit easier to find.
Who knows? Might be at Vertigo for all we know.
Oh my goodness. But Todd, you have a book for us this week, correct?
Yes, we do. Yes, I do, actually. This week's book is Thing number 8 by Dan Slott, the ever-loving blue-eyed thing run. It was basically The end of his 8-issue run, it didn't last as long. He wasn't the Dan Slott that we know and love today, that had the clout that he has. But it was basically one of my favorite little runs of the thing. And it, you know, it all led to, things Jewish heritage and stuff like that. I don't want to get into too much until we read it again, but, I remember thoroughly enjoying this book, and, I think you'll have fond memories of it too when you reread it, Joe.
This is one of my, and again, you know, we talked before about Bendis and a lot of the stuff that he did. This was one of the first books. I think Slott may have been writing She-Hulk either at the same time or right around the same time as this.
Maybe.
And the Thing is one of those characters that I will almost always check out anything that he's up to or in, especially a solo series that he's involved in. And from there, you know, I've been a Dan Slott fan ever since. I don't remember this book, as, you know, this particular issue, but I'm looking forward to revisiting it.
Right, and it wraps up all the storylines. Basically, the one thing you have to remember is, if anyone's going to read it, was that early on, Thing busted up Yancey Street, and some old Jewish storefront guys were like, you know what, you've done a lot of, like, wrecking here. And there was, like, an old Jewish thing where you have to make amends, and he was working for the Jewish guys who make amends for the stuff that he had done. And that's where this story comes in. Plus, it's a poker game issue. And anytime Ben Grimm has poker, I'm fascinated by it. So
before we get into TV talk,
mm-hmm.
we have a contest.
Contest?
Contest, boys and girls. Now, longtime listeners of the show may have noticed, we have been discussing a book on this show that's not even out yet. And that book was announced almost a year ago. And I think it was announced like in February, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the upcoming relaunch of Quantum and Woody by Daniel Kibblesmith and Kano from Valiant Comics. Now, we've been talking about the book quite a bit, and we are very much looking forward to this book coming out. And this is getting a big push from Valiant. So much so that Valiant was gracious enough to reach out to us here at Longbox Heroes and not only give us 2 copies of the book to give away in advance, but also one of each color of the fancy Klang wristbands that they were giving out at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the retailer exclusive book that a lot of the retailers have been getting at conventions that they've been going to try to convince people to read this book, and they have sent 2 of them to us to pass along to you, the listeners of the show. Now, how are we going to get these books to you? What are we going to do? Well, the contest is going to run for 3 weeks. We're going to announce the winners on the episode of Longbox Heroes that drops, as say, on December 6th. So it gives us, me, enough time to contact the winners, get their addresses, and have them to you before the book is released on the 20th of December. So you, part of that exclusive club that gets exclusive access to one of the most highly anticipated books of this show.
So you're saying it's the whole story that's in there, Joe?
It's one issue.
I didn't know. I didn't know that there was a full issue in there for the retail. I have never seen the
Sorry. It is the first issue that is going to be for sale on December 20th. It's the standard cover. It's not one of the crazy fancy covers. And it says retailer variant on it.
Wow. I didn't know that the story. I thought maybe they wouldn't put the whole story in there yet. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a couple of preview pages. But you're telling me, wow, that's cool.
Yes. How do you get this issue? Now, another thing that we've talked about at great length on the show is iTunes, which unfortunately is a necessary evil in the world of podcasting. I personally feel that iTunes reviews technically mean nothing. This is a way, for me at least, to make iTunes reviews mean something. And also to test if the iTunes reviews that they claim does the thing that it's supposed to do actually does the thing that it's supposed to do. Does that make any sense?
I understand it completely.
Okay. On the week of December 6th, when that episode comes out, I'm going to look at all of the written reviews, negative or positive, of this main show, and we're going to pick 2 at random. who are going to get a copy of this book. If you have never written a review for us, if you've just clicked 5 stars, which allegedly is good enough, but if you've never written a review, and all you got to do is go to your iTunes, mash your keys, click 5 stars, and you're good to go. That's how you enter into the contest. Maybe you've already written a review for us. Apparently, you can go into the review, edit the review to add or subtract things from it. Just so that I know that you've updated the review, mash the keys, add I like Quantum and Woody 2, something in there so that I can get those new reviews to pop that you have listened to what I've asked you to do and you want this Quantum and Woody book. And mm-hmm. the 2 fancy wristbands as well.
Right.
So that's all you got to do. Over the next 3 weeks, head over to iTunes, write a review for the main show, Long Box Heroes. If you've already written a review, go in, amend the review to add something. I listen, Joe. Todd is the best. Quantum and Woody for life. I also hate pie. Whatever. And that's how we will pick the 2 winners who will each get a copy of a full copy of issue number 1 before it's released on the 20th of December and the 2 wristbands.
Sweet deal.
Yes, and I'll be sure to remind everyone next week and the following week as well before we have the drawing on the episode that drops on the 6th of December, which would be episode 375. It's a milestone episode, Todd.
Oh, sweet. See, it's those legacy numberings that yes. we've been doing.
Oh, my goodness. So, I wanted to get that in before we get into TV talk. If you don't care about The Flash or Legend of Tomorrow, we bid you adieu.
But before we leave,
one more bit of TV talk. Yes, my apologies.
That's not spoiler filled, but I did watch the Robert Kirkman History of Comics, the first episode, and I can highly recommend it to people who are novices, especially novices, because they did Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, their history. And if you're a novice or you know a lot of stuff, it didn't give me a ton of information that I didn't know about Lee and Kirby, but it was done really well. The thing that I liked about it the most was that they would recreate scenes of like Kirby and Stan Lee meeting, but it was done in the old original Marvel cartoons style of art.
Oh, that's fun.
Right, it was fun. But the thing that really blew me away was seeing old footage of Stan Lee, old footage of Jack Kirby, and hearing snippets of interviews with him. Like, I've never heard Jack Kirby's voice, so it was kind of cool to see. And then here's the real draw. At some point in the 70s or 80s, after they had broken up, Jack Kirby's a radio show.
Oh, yes. Very famous.
And Stan calls in, and it gets tense for a moment.
Isn't it under the guise to wish one or the other happy birthday?
Kind of. And okay. It gets a little heated, but then you're kind of like, and then it kind of like goes into praising, but then it's like the last time they met. And the thing I like about it is they have like comic creators on it, because they throw actors in there. It's producers. It's like, oh, well, here's Famke Janssen to give you her opinion. I'm like, that's great. That's great, Famke. Like, I understand that you're, you know, blah, 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 and you were Phoenix and you were Jean Grey. But like, what you know about Marvel Comics in the past, not so much. But having Shooter tell a story about how it was the anniversary of Marvel Comics, and he invited Jack, not thinking he was going to come, and it what happened when Jack and Stan met, and they do it in the old Marvel animation style. I'm like, how they showed the artwork. It was like, here's what artwork looked like before Jack Kirby. And now even people have said, like, you know, his anatomy, his stuff, like he was at DC and they didn't like it, and then he went back to Marvel. But the whole thing of like, here's panels before Jack did comics, and it's bland 60s Superman, and then they're like, here's Jack, like a big fist in your face and like bursting through panels, and it shows very well what Jack became. And it gets a bit gritty because people take sides at times, but it doesn't get filthy in a way. And I don't mean filthy as like, you know, raunchy, but filthy in like mudslinging. But you see like the fights that came of like who did what and why. And it even shows kind of why Jack got pushed back because Stan had the charisma. I can't recommend it enough to watch it. It gives me goosebumps too when they push Kirby a little bit because he didn't get the recognition he deserves. I can't recommend it enough. And this week's episode, which was on already as the recording of this, was The Secret History of Wonder Woman. And they delve into the whole, like, they show some clips from it, and there's a bit of, you know, a risque vibe with some interesting stuff going on. So I say look it up if you're a fan of comics.
Right, and I am a fan of the history of comic books, especially the sorted history of Marvel. Where the four mentioned, Fred Van Lente, Ryan Dunleavy, comic book comics, and history of comics that they've done as both single issues and as a trade, as a graphic novel, quote-unquote. But also there's a book by Sean Howe, which is called the Marvel Comics The Untold Story, which I highly recommend that as well. It's a giant book. It's like 800 pages, but it's fantastic.
Have you actually read it?
I absolutely have read it.
Okay, I didn't know if you read some of it or heard something. Yeah. I was just curious. Okay.
It's great. So again, if you're a fan of the history of comic books or want to know a little bit more about the history of comics, as Todd mentioned, this TV show seems like a nice digestible slice of it.
But don't look too much for Robert Kirkman in it.
He does the Todd McFarlane Spawn-like wraparounds.
Right.
Have you ever met Jack Kirby in a dark alley, and your name is Stan?
Just for the record, Todd is in this episode.
Oh, of course he is.
But he doesn't have the thick Canadian accent like he used to. And there is a great moment where he does say, like, hey, if they could screw Jack Kirby, they could screw Todd McFarlane. He's like, so it's kind of like, that's how, like, he was thinking about Image as this stuff. It's fascinating. It really is.
Right.
I've, you know, gleamed enough too much now, so.
All right. Now it's time for actual TV talk with spoilery discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off with The Flash, which was Girls' Night Out.
Yes.
And I knew I should have felt a problem when Todd's female doppelganger, Felicity Smoak, showed up.
Yes.
But the girls go out. The guys go out. The girls get into a wacky villain adventure, and it's more so of a Killer Frost, Caitlin Snow story. The boys, led by Ralph Dibny, who I guess is going to be a recurring character.
Yes, he's the gated man.
He replaces Draco Malfoy as, like, the fifth wheel of the boys.
Right, as Dr. Alchemy, until he gets a bigger and better offer and he's gone for, you know, unexplained at the end of the season.
Right. He takes the men folk to the 8 p.m. on a CW TV show version of what a strip club is.
Right. What was it, the Golden Booty?
Yes. And wackiness ensues on both ends.
Right.
Again, it was a much lighter tone on the guy's side, and even the, even though the girl's story was like, oh, here's what Caitlin was up to during the in-between time of season 3 and season 4, and that's all coming back to haunt her sort of thing, it felt a little bit lighter, only because I personally think Caitlin looks so goofy as Killer Frost.
What? I love Killer Frost, Caitlin.
I love it too, but she kind of looks goofy as it, right?
I like when, and Dibny's like, I dig girls with white hair.
And maybe this is just the first time that I've noticed it, or this is the first time in a long time that Caitlin has been Killer Frost. Do they put a funky effect on her voice now that I didn't notice, like a weird echo or something?
I think she just does a super, like, sexy villain voice.
Well, I don't know what she's doing something. Mm-hmm. Not a great episode of The Flash, but it was definitely fun. I enjoyed myself. I wasn't upset that I spent, you know, an hour of my time watching this TV show that had several appearances by Felicity Smoak.
And it had Katie Sackhoff of Battlestar Galactic fame as Blacksmith villain, who I found her, I thought she was the most, like, fun part of the show, was her, like, you know, take on the, like, villain, the Metal Control and stuff like that. But
yeah, her my accent was a little off-putting, but I get it. I'm with you. I'm fine.
I'm fine with that. It was a British accent. Right. I'm cool with that. And then they made a Doctor Who joke, Joe.
Now I'm out.
Yes, I was wondering if you were going to mention where they were like...
Oh, yeah, because I mention all the Doctor Who references in popular culture.
No, I know, but...
Was someone wearing a scarf and I said...
No, they... Did you remember the joke at all?
No.
Oh, there was a moment where they were sitting there, they were getting ready for the bachelorette party and the bachelor party, and Joe's girlfriend is talking with her daughter, and she's like, blah, 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 I haven't, been this excited since Doctor Who, for Doctor Who. And, oh, no, you're giving us a kid. I always wanted a little sister since the seventh Doctor, since seven Doctors ago. And Joe was like, you're a Doctor Who fan? And he's like, since they made her a woman, yeah, hashtag feminism. And I was like, okay, I tried to do the math in my head of like seven Doctors ago, and it doesn't work out in my mind. So I was too busy, not like the joke or whatever. I was more like, wait a minute, so seven Doctors ago was this Doctor. But that was this year's. But then it took several years to get to America. So I was like, oh, we're halfway through the episode. I have to rewind. Because I was doing doctor math. It's different than fish math, Joe.
Just like you have the block on Terry Tuesday, I think I have the block on any time Doctor Who is mentioned in popular culture.
Right. As it should be. But it was a fun episode.
It was a fun episode. I liked it very much. I think outside of that one super heavy lovey-dovey episode this season, I think this has been a good season so far. But we're only like five episodes in.
I'm just mad the crew can't ever go back to the Golden Boot because they got thrown out.
Well, maybe there's another strip club in Central City.
And I'm just going to say, I'm hoping that the Golden Booty, now, honest to God, as a Flash fan, is a strip club that is run by the mob boss who is the Flash villain Goldface, and that's why it's called the Golden Booty. That's all I want.
I think that's a much better analogy than where I was going, which is there is a chain of strip clubs in the Atlanta southern region of the world called, the Gold Club.
Right.
And I think that was probably their nod to that to kind of make it a little bit more fun by putting the word booty in it.
I think it's going to turn out to be Goldface.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who he was married to?
Blacksmith.
And who was the villain in this episode?
Blacksmith. As soon as you said Goldface, I'm like, oh, that would be perfect because Blacksmith was in this. And then we talked about that in the Iron Heights episode, when we did Iron Heights one issue. Shot on Todd and Joe of Issues last week.
So see, good thing I'm remembering stuff, Joe. Mm-hmm.
All right. Legend of Tomorrow.
Yes.
While we did not have great wig work in this, we did have some fantastic mustache work in this. They go back to the late 1800s, and there's vampires. I'm still not digging the plot with the totems and Vixen and fake Isis and all that sort of jazz.
It's real Isis.
Uh-huh. But then, what's-his-face is in this?
Damien Dark?
Damien Dark is in this, right? Damien Dark. you have to really hit that H in the dark. And he's like the vampire they're all worshipping or whatever it was, and I thought we were done with him. And I'm kind of glad that we're not done with him because I thought he was a really good actor. I don't know. This one didn't... I didn't love this episode of Legend of Tomorrow. It was okay.
I that's what I was gonna say. I thought this was a really boring episode. I thought when White Canary turned on Rip Hunter and sent him back to the Time Agency and everything, I was like, or Time Bureau. I was like, yeah, whatever. I really don't care. The best part though was when they resurrect Damien Dark and he's like, "Where's my watch?" I cracked up. And then they start playing the watch, the music. I was like, this is fantastic. Just the fight scene and the choreography. And the punches were good, not like some people from other podcasts say that the DC, shows, they don't have good fight choreography and yell at the choreographers on Twitter. I liked it, and I thought that was the best part of the episode. And like you said, it was might be the weakest of all Legends of Tomorrow episodes I've seen. I was just kind of, as I was watching, I'm like, there's nothing here for me.
There were a couple in the first season, because remember when they got... Yeah, and they added a couple episodes. Like, there was the one in particular where it was, like, Rip when he was a child in the orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
That I get what they were trying to do, but it just felt flat and tacked on. And there was another episode from that part where they're like, oh, we got an extra order, but we don't have any scripts written. But everyone's already in their costumes. I'll just say a bunch of stuff and we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll Ed Wood it. It'll be fine.
And I think what saved this episode was there was no... There was no Len Snart in it. That's what made this better than the first season episode.
I think you're wrong there, but that's okay.
I'm getting you hot.
Right. But yeah, you know, I'm still watching the show. It wasn't, like, terrible that I'm going to abandon the show. You know, they all can't be winners.
Mm-hmm. It's not like you're Walking Dead at it.
Right, not yet. Hopefully not.
Right.
All right, so I think that's everything, right?
That is everything. We mentioned the book. We did this. We TV talk. We're all good.
All right. Don't forget about the contest. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This was episode 372 of Long Box Heroes, and we'll catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! What did you say?
Let's go, baby.
All right, so we had a much better week last week. Out of 16 games, we got 11 right. That's pretty good. And it's week 11 now. So we're going to go through and pick everything. So who do you think is going to win? The Tennessee Titans or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay. The Lions or the Bears? The Lions or the Bears? I know it's a tough one.
Bears.
The Bears. The Jaguars?
Jaguars.
Or the Browns?
Jaguars.
Do you see this? The Browns haven't won a game all year.
Really?
Yeah, they're 0-9. The Ravens or the Packers?
Packers.
I like that you're putting a lot of thought into these. The Chiefs or the Giants?
Chiefs.
Ooh, you're giving kisses? The Rams or the Vikings?
Vikings.
The Redskins or the Saints?
Redskins.
The Cardinals or the Texans?
Cardinals.
The Buccaneers or the Dolphins?
Dolphins.
The Bills or the Chargers?
Chargers.
The Bengals or the Broncos?
Broncos.
The Patriots or the Raiders?
Patriots.
Todd's going to be sad because the Raiders are his favorite team. When I used to like football, they were my favorite team too. The Eagles or the Cowboys?
Eagles.
And last but not least, the Falcons or the Seahawks?
Seahawks. I didn't know why didn't they put the Giants in with this one?
They did. The Giants are up here. It's the Giants and the Chiefs, and you picked the Chiefs. Do you want to change it?
No, you didn't do this one.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I wanted a new Giants.
We could change it to the Giants. We're not done.
Okay.
Changing it to the Giants? All right. That's Eddie's favorite team, you know. All right. Anything else you want? Oh, wait. Hang on.
Bye!
Bye. Do you have anything going on this weekend?
No.
No? No wrestling?
Oh, maybe. No.
No?
Tomorrow I don't.
Not tomorrow. But like on the weekend, don't we have a wrestling?
Yeah.
And we're going to try to go to the movies this weekend too. Do you remember what's coming out?
Yep, Justice League.
Justice League. All right.
I'm a fat bunny who's pooping.
say goodbye, everybody.